You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Sui, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I want an employee report card. I believe that the listeners and the viewers of this show would enjoy. They'd even like to hear from twice as many of you, I'm sure, about the inner workings of what it's like to work here, because it looks like a hell of a lot of fun. Surely it isn't. Surely it isn't. Surely these people do not look this ragged because every day is a merry ride over rainbows. Tell me, Chris Cody, where are you on both our report cards and getting to these report cards for the Commanders and for everybody else in the NFL?
Well, if this was, I would forge the signature. I would not have my mom sign the report card. Wow. You guys ever have that when you were young? You get the report card and then it didn't do so great. So it's like, I don't want my mom to see this, even though my mom always knew when they came out. So I could never actually do this. But I always wanted to be the kid that could forge my mom's signature.
You forged your parents' signature?
Oh, shut up. Everyone did.
Well, I forged my parents' signature, just never for a report card, because my grades were always pretty good.
Dork.
If you didn't, that's the more indictment. Like, every kid at some point forged their parents'
signature. It was the progress report that really got me, because I wouldn't really get started until, like, halfway through the 9 weeks. Like, 4.5 weeks is when I would really start, all right, I got
the Jimmy Butler of education.
Exactly. I was like, all right, I got D's across the board, but I know I can take them to B's and maybe a couple C's. In the last 4.5 weeks of the semester. The problem is that progress report at 4.5 weeks was damning. So there was times where I'd have to bite the bullet. And here's the difference, guys. And I'm going to tell you, young listeners, right now, I'm here to help you. Uncle Tony's here. So what you do is this. What you do is this. There's going to be one time, Dan, there's going to be one time that you got to bite the bullet.
Let my boy cook.
And give your parents the progress report without falsifying their name. Okay,
because you got to see the signature.
Because you see the signature plenty when you're a kid. The thing is, you got to let them know, hey, didn't cut it this 9 weeks. Here you go, just so you can see it. After that point, they'll put the fear of God in you. You'll kick it back up in the last 9 weeks, in the last 4.5 weeks of the 9 weeks. But then going forward, you sign off all the signatures. Hey, look, I got these, but that's not.
I'm here for Uncle Tony's. Listen up, young people. I've got a highly a grift for you.
Yeah. Our average 45-year-old audience really appreciates that.
I'm coming for the new generation, Dan, of the new generation of the Le Batard Show. I'm helping them.
Younger and smarter.
Kid listening in your dad's car. Right?
Exactly.
Mike, I've been surprised recently. We're still in the 20s somehow. I don't know how that is exactly, but Tony helps there. Jeremy, you can't have a lower grade than B in your entire life of getting report cards, right?
I got a C+ for one quarter in calculus. And
you cry?
It was devastating. I still blame it for the reason that I didn't get into a particular college, because...
What college? Name it.
It was UF. I didn't get into UF, but I got in everywhere else I applied, and it was a major gripe. I never, on progress reports, I was like excited to bring those home because I was always like A's and B's, baby. Man, it was the most exciting thing.
Totally different world I lived in.
Oh, it was awesome.
I did the Tiger Woods fist bump for a C plus.
Big dog.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you on the opposite side of that handshake.
If I have less than an A, like I was genuinely upset.
Yeah, Jeremy, your life has been an unbroken boulevard of green lights.
That's exactly right.
It's infuriating.
Yep. Yeah, it's really it comes up in therapy quite often, actually.
It's infuriating.
A lot of imposter syndrome, because I'm like, how does this keep being so easy?
I wasn't a great student, but my advice is have a parent die. Oh, what a load off.
Put it on the poll, please.
Write that down.
Put it on the poll as my parents are in their 80s. Have a parent die. What a load off. Mike, that's brutal.
Huge relief, though. She was feisty. You did not want a bad progress report around her, let me tell you.
Well, if you're going to have a parent die, have it the one that's more...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once my dad was left around, I was like, okay, sub.
If your dad had died, you would have been screwed still.
I ran away from home because I got a B. And it's A, B, and it was the only thing my dad
ever
mentioned.
Why are you running away for a B?
No, because my father...
Poppy?
Thing... Yeah, I was... You know, I was
a damn good grade.
I was a senior in college.
I would have ran.
I'd peacock.
I'd home like the prodigal son.
Oh, B?
I had like a Q3 one year where it was close to a 3.0. I was like, guess I'm Einstein now.
My sweet spot, one time I got all B's and a C. I was like, what a king I am.
The worst academic experience I had was when I was in college and I got a B minus on one of my grades. And so it put me on academic probation for the honors college.
Oh, okay.
And so, I almost didn't have an opportunity to be the team leader within the honors college.
Not going to say anything.
You guys shook out of me. Like, I'm actually shaking out of my body something that you have triggered. A legitimate childhood trauma, not now. A legitimate childhood trauma because I'm just now remembering that my father, who was impossible to please, I was always getting straight A's, and I got a B, and it's the only time he commented on the report card at any time. I ran away from home in whatever it was, fourth grade, fifth grade, and got to the end of, you know, a bus stop a couple of blocks away. And I'm like, well, I'm a kid. Now what do I do? Like after an hour, like I've run away, but I'm like, okay, I'm really hurt. And
how much easier would have been had he just been dead?
So put it on the poll. As I said, Juju, have a parent die. What a load off. At Levitard Show. How is this list looking? Who's put together the list of categories for how we're doing around here as employers?
Dano, I went around and put together a list for all of our team.
Uncle Tony did it.
Yep. And we came back with a grading scale that I think you'd be proud of. I went to every employee, got it anonymously, clearly, and did all the calculations. And we put them up here. Let's put them up on the screen for everybody. I'm going to read it for the podcast audience. So treatment of families. We get an A here. We're a family. We love families around here. We're big family people. Food and cafeteria.
Valerie gets treated very well.
Yes. As all of our families do. Food and cafeteria.
But not as well as Valerie.
A minus. I don't know why the minus there. I think maybe Danny Benita said something about something. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. Holadera. We got A plus. You know how that goes, Dave.
Yes. So that's just you guys.
Tomfoolery. I should have put tomfoolery, but I think Jolera was better. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It
this would have looked very different if we were still at the Clevelander, by the way.
Yeah. The whole list would have
huge
looked different.
Huge upgrade in facilities over here. Upgrade.
Yep.
Can we do the Clevelander? Can we?
You don't want to do that. After this, we could do it. Yeah. We do that. Locker room.
Gun violence, A+, by the way.
Locker room, we get an A. Look around here. It's a beautiful place. Support, parking, C. I take the train, so I wasn't, I actually.
Oh, first I'm learning of it. What a good thing to learn there. Yeah, first parking, I'm learning of
C minus, we had to go kind of high up.
Yeah, so people didn't really like the parking.
Your experience
situation
with parking is a little bit different because everyone else has to go up 12 more ramps.
And at the Clevelander, it was only 4, right?
The Clevelander parking garage was worse, pal.
Shit on the floor.
Yeah. Look, anyone that wants to complain about the parking sitch here, please. Take a moment to reflect on your Clevelander days.
Well, but if I may, for just a second, on you guys do realize we're wildly overpopulated. Okay, I don't know if people know what's going on in South Florida right now, especially on the beach. But they just run spring break out of here. Like now, they're just being aggressively like tossing economies and people out because no, we don't want too much. It's $100 parking, and it's because we're so overcrowded with the rest of the country fleeing down here. We're so overcrowded.
that we live in a place that has no place that can build out anymore into stuff that's not marshland. So everything goes straight up. Everything goes straight up, and it's the least affordable housing market in America. Hialeah is like five.
And
everything's going straight up. And so we're going to be parking in the sky from elevators 60 floors up for the rest of our time in whatever this downtown is.
Well, right now our report card says C. So there's obviously room for improvement. The second half of the 9 weeks, we're bringing it back. Let's put the report card back up. Support staff, A. I mean, what an incredible support staff we have around here. Please. Thank you, Stu.
Weight room.
Weight room, A plus. Yes. I mean, Dan, you know how I see you in there putting in work.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
We all saw yesterday you put in that work.
I have been putting in that work. This is funny that you guys are looking at this here, though. This looks like you just went to Frankie and said, Frankie, your security, what should you get as a grade? And he said A.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's how that worked. Yeah.
No, he said A plus, and we were like,
No, he's a C plus.
Temper expectations.
Whoa.
C plus.
He's the last line of defense between people that are using that bathroom and the three rat finks that continually don't put the toilet
seat
down.
Leave the toilet seat up. Sorry about that. This is this
security
happening.
A. I'd give it a triple A plus. Team travel A. Very nice across the board. Head coach D for Dan.
I mean, this
for Dan, though. D for Dan. D for Dan.
It's a brutal thing.
But you're also part of ownership, Dan. So A.
You know what the A in Dan stands for.
I do believe it's a good score.
Pretty good across the board, if I'm going to be honest, Dan. I don't know. There's a lot of room for improvement on a couple of things, but we could do a kick-ass job.
This is crushing to me.
Sorry.
I want to run away right now and sit on a park bench for an hour like I did from my father because I brought home a D. A D in coaching.
For Dan, though.
I feel like Mike's been coaching us for a while, though.
Only your name was Alan.
Yeah. Right now, we got a bit of an interim situation. You got a Coach Jim Bates situation going on right now.
What was the most interesting thing to you guys about those stupid grades? About the fact
Green Bay being third, that you're better off not having an owner in your upper echelon.
A little communism there.
Do we understand? We just generally understand how you have to negotiate better terms so that your players, their 53 bodies on the court, are on the field for your team. That when they travel, they should have their own room. They should all have their own room.
Not if you're team building. There's a reason
for
it.
That is true.
I can be talked into it, provided that the room is nice.
Jacksonville went from 28th to 5th because of one thing. They got rid of the rats.
Big Mike, you want a room on the next trip?
Absolutely not. I'm way too bougie. And certainly not with you.
Thanks.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Listen, it could be Julius Randle's building.
How about that?
The Mecca.
Or is Julius? The Mecca.
Spugats.
Steve Martin was a prop comic.
You said that?
I said it 2 seconds earlier than you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Spugats.
I think the single greatest professional honor that this show has ever gotten in terms of creating things for people that make them laugh or feel good. I believe a few comedy legends have interacted with our show in a way that was playful, fun, and forever memorable, whether it be Alan Thicke or Bob Einstein or Richard Lewis, where they graced us by interacting with our show and going along with the bit with us. Richard Lewis and our relationship was only
as a show, jostling with him, allowing him to be maximum Richard Lewis. And now, Curb Your Enthusiasm, at the end of its great run, and the season so far has been tremendous. I can't believe that Larry David could take the neuroses of his daily life and turn it into endless content that never runs out. His friendship with a comedy legend, Richard Lewis, doing that show at the end. Man, I saw an interview with Seinfeld and Larry David where Seinfeld was asked with Larry David, are you going to ever do a sitcom or anything like that again? He's like, no, hell no. For what? What? I did it already. To accomplish what? And Larry David's like, that's a great idea. To ruin it all. Just to ruin it all. And then he made Curb Your Enthusiasm, which somehow has aged with grace, even though the last trailer I saw before this season, all I saw them running around a golf course was, man, those guys look so old. They look so old. And Richard Lewis was dying. But he laughed until the end. Like, he's still out here making great comedy right before he passes. Do you guys remember, Mike, do you remember how close we were to trying to do a remote from Bob Einstein's funeral because he was around our show so much and because he would have thought it funny?
Yeah, I do know that. I don't necessarily think that there was a content play, but I know that Allison, when she was here, almost went to the funeral, and Richard Lewis was certainly born out of... I do miss the Celebrity Prognosticator segment because we got to know people over those longer runs, and someone like Richard Lewis probably wouldn't have entered our environment were not for that segment. That show has given us two of our favorite guests ever. They were older comedy legends, and I think part of the cool thing about our show is we introduced, in some cases, a younger audience to absolute titans of the game. Richard Lewis is a legend. Bob Einstein was a legend. And to have them both in the same show and both pass while the show is still actively running, I know is, considering the popularity of that show, tough for a lot of people. And if you operate inside the Venn diagram of a lot of people, which is like our show and like Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm sure that news hit you very hard.
And Chris and Roy edited what you're about to hear here in memory of Richard Lewis because they remember almost the entirety of the relationship. It was funny, contentious, and he would basically just come on and get deeply insulted and scream at me.
Hi, Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Oh.
Hello, sir. Are you ready? Let's go. He's ready. Let's go. All right, he's ready. Let's go. Let's go. Ready? Three, two, one. Join.
Oh, are we going now? How dare you embarrass me in front of your fans?
Well, I'm trying to help
what
you.
What happened to you? You've changed.
What do you mean, what happened to us? I've never talked to you before in our lives.
I've streamed your show, and you used to be a genuinely nice guy, and you turned into a bastard.
Joined now by our friend and nemesis, the comedian Richard Lewis.
I'm no nemesis to you. I'm only a nemesis to Wolverines.
Thank you for making time for us, Richard. Are you just sitting there anxious?
Stop giving me any of this crap. I don't believe a word you're saying. I'm sick of this nemesis crap. I'm sick of this fake fight we have. You know that we used to be lovers back in the day in Cuba.
You were so gentle.
I was not gentle, and I used to give you all the tips. We won so much money betting. You used to call me Olivia. What is this Olivia crap? You're like, don't spread these rumors.
You mean rumors?
You know what? Facts. I saw I was looking at the shows, the years I did with you. You have your fans who love you, and you're great. I'm a big fan of the whole show. You say, how was Richard? Did he suck? Mm-hmm. Was he any good? Mm-hmm. How is his teeth? Are they yellow? Are they white? Why judge me? You know, I've been doing this for 48 years. You were 4 years old when I did Carnegie Hall. You have some nerve. I used to live in Florida. I have friends call me every time I do your show. He's a piece of crap. Why does he put you down? I said, I don't know why he puts me down. I'm a big fan. I'm a sports fan. I've been a comic my whole life. I devoted myself to the arts. I don't get it. Just tell me why you hate me so much.
Richard, devoting yourself to the arts. Come on, Richard. Richard.
All right, so that was a bit of a lie. And by the way, I don't mean to be narcissistic, but we're probably going to blow up North Korea. But I'm Curb does start October 1st.
okay, an interesting juxtaposition.
No matter what.
Okay,
I'm just telling you.
Curb Your Enthusiasm looks like so much fun. Everything you guys are doing. Thank you for being.
When do I talk?
Okay, go ahead. You go ahead.
Go ahead. Talk.
Now. I'm on tour.
Yeah, all right.
I'm New York, then Philly, then L.A. and San Francisco, and I'm wasting my time with you mocking me.
Blunt Talk. It's premiering this August on Stars. He recently attended Ringo Starr's 75th birthday party because
I only have 400 seconds. You know, I'm fed up with all of you.
Huh? What happened?
Blunt Talk is going to be on Stars in August, and it's the greatest cast I've ever been with, and Sir Patrick Stewart is my client. I'm a psychiatrist. Sure, mock me.
Well, you're full of it. I mean, because you say every time...
I'm not full of it.
Yeah, because every time you come on with us, you say something you're involved with is the greatest thing you've ever been involved with.
No, that was just a hooker in Vegas.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I never used
never.
Hookers.
Never.
I've never had a hooker in my life.
I'm kidding. It wasn't
now.
Vegas.
I'm very happy, and I'm a hypochondriac, and I used to put a Michelin condom over my body.
All right.
I know Larry David since I'm zero. I was a preemie, and I had to stay in a hospital for 3 days, and then he was born, and he tried to hang me by my umbilical cord, moron. And then I went to a sports camp, and he was there, and we were enemies. And then I never saw him again until we were comics and we were best friends. So one day we were going over our childhood and when we were like 24 or so, and then we realized we were the same kids at 12 who hated each other at sports camp. It was a billion to one shot. It was pretty cool, man.
I got to imagine that you and Larry David, that wasn't much of a sports camp, like in terms of general athleticism at 12 years old.
No, wrong again. I was a great athlete, just too short for basketball, but one of the great stickball hitters in Jersey and New York. In fact, I'm in a professional stickball league in L.A. I beat Pete Rose in stickball. So there you go.
Professional stickball?
He calls me up and he says, let's go to dinner. And I go, what time? He goes, 4:01. I go, 4:01? You know, he's a very wealthy man. I make a good living. I've been working my whole life. But, he doesn't have to treat me. Screw him. So I go to this fancy restaurant in Beverly Hills. I get there an hour early, okay? I go to the maitre d'. I go, here's my credit card. Oh, Mr. Lewis, no, Mr. David always pays. I mean, no, screw Mr. David. I could pay for him. No, he'll yell at us. Let him yell at you, you babies.
Yeah.
I'm paying.
Uh-huh.
So I give him my credit card. Larry comes an hour late. We were always broke for years when we started. And I said, Larry, why don't we just order what we used to do? I'd order chicken, you'd order beef, you'd get some soup, we'd split it. And he says, no, don't embarrass me. I go, what do I mean embarrass you? The chef will tell me what I want. The chef will tell you what you want? What are you, nutcase? How are you changed on me? What kind of... So the chef brings out 20 dishes on one of these Lazy Susans. 20 different entrees, and we don't even speak for more than 1 minute. And the phone rings, and he goes, oh my God, I forgot, it's poker night at Steve Martin's house, and he leaves me.
You have to pay for it.
He leaves me with 20 entrees and a $1,200 bill. You know, I love Einstein, too. He's one of the funniest guys, but he's the loudest human being. It's like walking in where he's... You go to a restaurant. Let's say you go to a funeral, and you're walking to the casket. I swear to God.
Yes.
He'll say this. So, and I don't do a good impression. He goes, two vaginas walk in, and they say hello to a testicle. And then the testicle turns around and makes a milkshake. But I'm saying he screams this out while we're looking at the dead body in the coffin. That's why he's the greatest.
No filter.
I don't know why. And he's such a nutcase, but yeah, I love
you. All are, though. Who's the biggest? You're all nutcases, all of you.
You're like Gandhi. You're a mental case. And Ringo introduced me to my wife, so when he bite me.
Ringo,
bite me.
I'm calling BS on that. Ringo didn't introduce you to your wife. A Beatle did not introduce you to
the
wife.
Tell me that Ringo's not one of my oldest friends for 30 years and introduced me to my wife and that George's a huge fan of my stand-up. So, you know, I mean, why are you lying to your fans? and you're making me look like a schmuck.
What did you just do to us here? We were just talking to you about the Knicks, and all of a sudden you told us a story about Michael Jordan sitting next to you that didn't have anything to do with anything.
That's because I'm a hoax. I'm a hoax as a comic, as a guest, as a husband.
But
I have no sperm left. I can't have children.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
So it's all bad. Let me say right now, I think this is the greatest interview you ever had. What do you think of that? This is the best interview you had in 2 years, you clown. This interview was the best you had in like 5 years, you moron.
Yeah, how come I did 2 Super Bowl commercials in the last 5 years? You know, bite me. Yeah, really. I'm tired of your fans thinking I'm not good, I'm not funny, I don't care about you. Your votes. I don't vote for your guests. What kind of crap is that? How was he? Was he any good? Was his hair any good? Is he losing it? Is he getting bald in the back? Screw you.
Put it on the poll. Was Richard Lewis any good this time at Levitard Show? Were Richard Lewis's teeth yellow? Put that on the poll as well. And
even my wife was not a gigantic sports freak. She likes your show, and she says she heard me on the phone when she went, "You sucked."
Guillermo, put it on the poll.
My own wife is ahead of me.
Do you know the Ohio State fight song? You want to lead us to break on the Ohio State fight song?
Well, no, it's okay. On Ohio, where's your deli? I need something. It doesn't matter what the words are. I'm a graduate. I graduated famous with a love. B.S. in marketing.
Yes.
And then when he has time to set up in the pocket, he really does have a shotgun.
Wait a minute, you know, Nemesis. Do you know your quarterback's name?
No, I don't. I don't. Names are unimportant. It's just a position, and I don't. How dare you quiz me on Ohio State like this and embarrass me?
I'm just curious.
I'm one of the most famous. Yeah, I know his name, Irving Schlockowitz. They probably got 11 guys who knew Walter White, and they played, you know, and they ran the offense with
really?
The first team.
Really? You're accusing your team of being on meth?
No. I'm saying they hired people to make believe they were on meth to run the fast offense.
Oh, that's
trying to listen to me.
That's much right. different. You're right. What was the best time, the single best time, the most fun time to be Richard Lewis?
Sleeping with, with beautiful actresses. And when the Knicks and the Jets and the Mets won in 69. By the way, what's going to happen to the Patriots quarterback? Is he going to... I've been on the road. Is he going to do the 4-game thing?
No. Well, it's just a topic from 2 months ago.
Oh, you see? That's what you guys care. You just care about ratings, and you don't care about ethics.
That's right. And on that note, we're going to let you go.
You know why? Because you hate me now.
Yeah, if we cared about ratings, you wouldn't be on with us,
Richard, worship you.
If we cared about ratings, you wouldn't be on with us right now.
That was the meanest thing ever said
your
to
book.
Me.
Your book.
You know, my mother tried to push me back into the womb, and that's the exact thing she told me.
Yes.
If I cared about ratings about our family, we wouldn't have you.
I wish she had.
I apologize for all of this. You can edit it. You can.
It's live.
I was trying to be entertaining for you. You and for your, all the women in your life.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Don Levitard.
God doesn't even know what this list
but
is.
He was ahead of Tom Brady, who also won a playoff game.
A couple, yeah.
That was literally the most confusing list we've ever done.
Tebow's got a better shot of coming back.
Give him a chance. He's got more lists.
I'm mad. I'm angry.
I want to leave.
Stugatz.
This would have been your day. This should be. You should own the sports media landscape right now.
I am. Top 7 guys. I would not want the Jets.
No. You.
No.
No, I'm not allowing it.
Give him Zach a chance, Wilson, guys.
No, I'm not giving him a chance. I'm giving him 20 years.
Carson, what?
I've given him my prime.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
in fairness to Chris, it's really hard to capture the essence of a Richard Lewis appearance by having it be bite-sized, because nothing that he ever really did on our show was bite-sized. The meandering, the rambling, it was part of the bit with him. So that's why we honored him appropriately.
Plus, I wanted to kill a full segment.
Not nearly respectful enough to him, by the way. A legitimate legend. Our show was wildly
comedy icon.
That's all it was. Like, that's, I'm telling you, there wasn't a lot of heartfelt.
No, it was zero. No. We had a very superficial, shallow relationship with Richard Lewis.
It did actually, Ed, Roy cut out at the end. There was like, I love you guys. Same to you. But Roy cut that part out.
Really, Roy?
Yeah, cut for time.
It needed
yeah.
to be a little bit shorter.
10 seconds long.
Just try to be yeah. official.
Yeah. I'm happy we cut anything for time here.
Why wouldn't you have made it with the I love yous?
Dude, it was 14 minutes long before I touched that.
I actually have another.
And then it was 13:30 after he touched it.
I actually have another 40-second clip that I was like, this doesn't fit the montage, but it is funny. I'll turn the volume up on the
thing. By the way, Leonard Nimoy passed today. He was a buddy of mine, and it's very sad. He was a brilliant guy and only matched. His acting was only matched by his class, so anyone who loved him, my condolences.
But Richard, what did you just do to our show? We were talking about sports, and then you talk about your show.
Pardon me for mentioning someone who dies. You are a rude human being.
I'm with Lewis on this.
No. Let me tell you what I don't
That's
care.
That's
my game. Oh my God!
Okay, you can't cut that.
How does that get cut for time?
He's the Lewis.
What's going to happen? You better come to my. You better come to my funeral.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You can see Richard and Kevin Pollak tonight, 8 p.m., our nemesis.
Nice segue, by the way. You're brilliant. You know, I used to really worship you. I think now you're a complete idiot.
I am pretty sure I should let people know this part of it, I think. He didn't know anything about our show, and the joke was that this comedy legend was coming and being on this dumb Miami show for no good discernible reason. Just
yeah, to pick Bengals 6.5.
When he knew nothing about football and was working in the gutter well beneath where his talents had taken his life.
Yeah. Did you see Larry David's statement that he gave to HBO that has been circulated? Here's a quote. Richard and I were born 3 days apart in the same hospital. And for most of my life, he's been like a brother to me. He had the rare combination of being the funniest person and also the sweetest. But today he made me sob. And for that, I'll never forgive him.
It was well written. Like when I read it, I'm like ending on a joke there because their friendship laughed until the end. Like, of course, that's the thing that's the one thing that would reach through all the neuroses of Larry David and reach him, the mortality of losing a friend. When you saw in their on-air chemistry that those two knew how to be friends.
I'm telling you, though, you guys got distracted when you heard I'm with Lewis on this. You missed the part of this sound that I wanted to play for you.
When I die, here's what's going to happen. Richard Lewis died. He was Stewart. A funny guy. What's with Whatever. The weather? That's what's going to happen. You better come to my you better come to my funeral.
Okay.
So we were invited, right. huh?
So
you agreed.
Confirmation.
When do you head out?
Need to give him some vacation time.
Okay.
You should go tomorrow.
You want to do the show from out there?
Sure.
How heartfelt are your condolences?
I don't want to do the show from out there. That's in poor taste.
I'm with Lewis on this.
But we were invited. Well, Dan was. No, oh, it's okay. binding.
Okay. All right, it's binding.
He said okay.
Yeah, you did say okay.
He meant it. As you know, he was always super serious during his appearances here. But yeah, rest in peace, comedy legend and friend of the show, Richard Lewis.
We can handle the show without you tomorrow, Dan. Like, if you need to go, we understand.
Live report.
If you want. I mean...
He had a great lid in his heyday, too.
Yeah, we're just saying you should pay for
great respect. Lid.
I don't know how many people, like, I don't know necessarily that we should be doing the entirety of the eulogy on behalf of what that man's career was, but you're talking about 45 to 50 years in stand-up comedy, and I think people understand that that's a career without a safety net, that those are artists that don't, like, have big employers with healthcare benefits and stuff. You can latch on to shows as a writer and stuff, but to be able to create the career that that guy created out of just his funny and his neuroses, because his whole bit was to be, like, publicly insecure like that in a way that crawled around in his skin. And the show that he and Larry David do together, like he wasn't on from the very beginning, was he? Was he on from the very beginning of that show?
It was pretty apparent that even if you weren't a fan of Richard Lewis, but maybe you like Seinfeld, like he was, without saying it there, and he kind of touched on it, he was a muse for Larry David. He is one of the most influential voices in comedy, and that he influenced Larry David. So Richard Lewis's legacy probably doesn't get the credit it deserves.
I'm guessing that when Larry David composes himself to like give you his real thoughts on what it is that that brotherhood was, I will guess that he will be introspective enough to understand and grateful enough, even though he doesn't tend to give off very much joy or gratitude in his work, grateful enough to say, do you realize that I never ran out of material? Because me and Richard Lewis were always just walking around town. And so Richard Lewis would, I'm guessing that this is at the core of their friendship, because I do wonder how they never ran out of materialists, because like, really, you can't serve breakfast after 11? That's a hard no on my eggs. If I'd been here at 10:55, you could do it, but you don't have the technology to do it. I'm guessing that's just them televising their friendship.
Well, 100%. All of the Seinfeld stuff that works so well, and certainly Curb after that, where it just picked up and ran with the ball, is all observational. And you could totally see how that's born with brunch between Larry David and Richard Lewis.
And in some ways, right, because this is not that Larry David doesn't give off anything but misery. The work is funny, but he gives off not a whole lot of happy. Do you realize that in the neuroses that him and that friend shared, the fact that it was an endless source of content is the only way he can go after Seinfeld and do another? Nobody believes he's done. When his friends are dying, and these are the people who made him laugh, and Larry doesn't seem like he doesn't seem joyous, right? But he finds the funny in the dark when your friends are dying all around you and you can't get through the season without losing Richard Lewis. And before that, Bob Einstein, who he loved similarly. It's a bit heartbreaking, but the season's been good, Mike. Like the art that they're making through three shows when it's hard for comedy to age. Like, I'm hoping we view the rest of this with a gentle eye, because it's hard to finish these things correctly.
People have been hard on this season of Curb. I've seen memes putting Hakeem Olajuwon in a Raptors uniform, equating it to this season. I don't think that's been the case. Like, if you're tired of the observational humor from Curb, why are you even watching Curb? That's kind of the show's deal. It's built on that. Maybe it's leaning heavier than you're used to. Because I think in the last few seasons, Curb has had a singular thread and story arc carry it through the season. And I actually wasn't a huge fan of that. And in many respects, it's getting back to its roots.
Can I ask you guys, as someone who just really can take some of the fun out of what I'm watching by just marveling at the construction of things, will anyone in the audience allow history and art to gracefully finish when you consider the degree of difficulty of writing 25 years of this is the most popular television, and the standard is through the sky on what you're doing? If this gets worse, I'm going to notice. I'm waiting for you to get old. I'm waiting for it to get worse. I'm asking you.
Are we still talking about Richard Lewis?
I'm asking you sincerely about their careers at the end.
I hope that we're afforded that opportunity with a passionate fan base and leaning into some of those personal relations that we built through over time, because, I mean, we're approaching our 20th anniversary. There's a lot of young bucks in the game right now with bigger platforms, and, you know, we're trying to find our way. And I think that we can maybe draw inspiration for how Larry David had this whole second chapter. I'm making it about us.
You really did at the end.
Well, I thought you were talking about us.
Yeah.
I wasn't, though. I was talking about the career of Richard Lewis.
Listen, Uncle Tony, you'll be fine.
Sounded like you were talking just about the reviews of Curb Your Enthusiasm for this season. So,
I just haven't. That's not what I've been hearing. When I'm talking to Amin, and I don't know what Jessica and Amin liked the season. I think it was Jessica liked the season the way that I have. But I'm also telling you that I'm grading it through the curve of how the degree of difficulty. And here I would be talking about us of trying to make something when people around you die. Like, or are sick, because what has been clear in watching Curb Your Enthusiasm for the last 3 years is that Richard Lewis is emaciated. Like, he's sickly.
Yeah, and that what was also clear is that he very much wanted to be a part of it as that was happening to him, because it was known. If you saw that most recent episode, we kind of all probably said to our partner, like, he's looking rough there. But I think that they found great joy in wanting to do that as his time was winding down and share that with his friend. It was kind of a beautiful thing. We making this about us.
They were making jokes about the will while arguing over the golf cart.
Yeah, that's like the kind of morbid humor that I kind of love. Spoiler alert.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.